welcome to the Yes Alive Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show since it began nearly 8 years ago, and also founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, helping people with cancer to learn about and access integrative medicine to help them recover their health and well-being in the broadest sense. Today, I'm going to be exploring the role that faith can play in someone's recovery, and I'm doing that by talking to Anthony Malpas, someone who has a deep religious conviction and attributes his extraordinary recovery to that. I was speaking to Anthony over the internet.
Hi Anthony, many thanks for coming on the Yes Live Show today.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
So despite being on air for almost 8 years, I still find myself talking about subjects for the first time. Such is the nature of integrative medicine. It's broad and continually getting broader. A broad church might be an apt description given today's topic, which is faith.
Indeed.
Of course, as a subject, it's come up time and time again over the years, but I've never devoted an entire show to it, so I'm very pleased to do so now, as it is an important topic that deserves attention.
Yeah.
So yours is a position of faith within a religious context, but I want to take this opportunity to explore faith in its broadest sense, as for someone with cancer, it could be directed in all sorts of different ways, from religious faith such as yours to faith in life, faith in the treatment you're receiving, faith in science, faith in doctors delivering your treatment, all sorts of places. So to get us started, what would you say is your definition of faith?
Faith is seeing things that don't exist in the natural realm, and understanding things, particularly from a Christian point of view, understanding spiritual truths which are explained to us through the Bible, and trusting in those truths rather than what we can necessarily see and experience in the natural realm. So it's a question of understanding what the Bible is teaching and believing in that, even though the circumstances around us don't seem to add up to what the truth of what the Bible is saying. So there's a difference between the truths of what the Bible says and the facts, which are the experiences that we have of life. And it's the relationship between those two things that is faith.
Interesting. So I suppose in that this is what might be described as the thing that can carry you through circumstances which appear to be impossible or very difficult or whatever, because you've got a view of something that is bigger than that and you rely on.
Exactly. I mean, that was very much my situation. I mean, I had an almost impossible situation naturally, but I was able to face that with a lot of peace in my heart because of my faith that the truth was that, in fact, I was already healed. That's what the Bible teaches. And so I believe in that by faith, even though I'm not experiencing it. But, you know, when I'm traveling to hospital in an ambulance, when I've got
these
things happening, often faith seems to be almost totally contrary to what is happening in your life. But that's what faith is.
Okay. So I pointed this out when we were introduced. I'm not someone who has a religious faith myself, although I would say I've got a strong faith in life in its positive, affirmative direction. My own experience of life and the experiences that many people have shared with me here on the show and elsewhere throughout my work with Yes to Life lead me to acknowledge the central role that faith can play, not only in getting you through a really difficult time, but in the outcome as well. Now, you've written about your experiences in a book called Cancer with Christ, and as part of today's exploration, I wonder if you'd share the broad outline of your story, starting from the background that you grew up in and your overall experience of life, and then the role that faith has played throughout that.
Yes, I mean, in the book, I give a bit of background to the way I was brought up. I was brought up in a very strict Christian family. We belong to a denomination which was called the Brethren, which is a very strict denomination. But it was one that taught me to read and understand the Bible from a very young age. We left that when I was 15, but I think it had a very big impact on my life. And it meant that I had a very strong grounding in the Christian faith, even if it was what I would call rather legalistic, in that we were supposed to behave in a certain way. And I think I used to have a slightly awesome view of God as being someone who could be quite judgmental if we went off tracks.
Right.
And I think that had quite an impact on my life, actually. Because I had been brought up to think that if things went wrong, then God was not pleased with me.
Right.
And later on in life, I found that that wasn't actually the truth. That's not the fact. But quite often in churches, people would have a rather difficult view of God as not being really loving and caring in wanting to see us, for example, when you get ill, to want to see us healed. So that was my sort of upbringing. I mean, we I'm not saying that we had a bad upbringing at all. It was great. You know, we lived on the south coast of England, at Ulgava. You know, we had great holidays, everything. We had lots of friends, but they were all within the church movement that we were part of.
Right.
I was married. We had a nice house out in the country in Dorset, three wonderful children. So I've got three children. One's a doctor, one's a lawyer, and the other is has a film company. Right. So they've done very well, and they've got seven grandchildren. So life was good. We had a good life. My wife was a doctor, came from Dublin, and we had a very good family life. One of my problems was I was quite entrepreneurial, and I took risks financially.
Uh-huh.
And some of those risks worked very well and were very successful. Some of them weren't so successful. And I remember I ended up tending to borrow money quite a lot. And this was a mistake in my life, and it caused some tension with my wife, unfortunately, although we overcame that most of the time, until I got into some financial difficulty and ended up owning the Internet Revenue quite a lot of money. And that was a thing that actually moved us apart, which was very sad, actually, because we'd had a good marriage. And so I was divorced. And that was a terrible thing for me, because I hadn't been brought up to know that, I had really believed that marriage is such an important part of life.
Right.
And generally, I think, but having had a very happy marriage experience, that was a big blow to me. And I found it quite hard to recover from that. Eventually, I married again and had another son. I've got an 18-year-old son now, even though I'm 75.
Okay.
He accepts rather well. He's great. But basically now I've got I'm not married to her anymore, but I have two rather lovely families. And one of the things that affected me very much was when the second time I got myself into financial troubles again. I had to ask the question, how is it that somebody who believes in the Bible, loves Jesus, follows him with all his heart, and can get into such a mess, basically. And mainly through financial problems, probably from wanting to be, to make too much money and not following the right way. And of course, with my original upbringing, that that made me feel quite guilty, really. I said, right, I'm going to go right back to first principles. I'm going to find out from the Bible, from my experience with God, why it is that I am not I'm not succeeding as a Christian in being, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't succeed at all. I had a lot of good things about my life, but there are these areas that went wrong, basically, even though I had faith. And I thought, well, why did the faith stop working? What's wrong? And so I started praying about it, and I started reading the Bible and listening to what other people had to say about it. And there was something which I turned on television and heard somebody speaking once, and this was a very interesting moment, because he said something which really hit me. And I hadn't understood this before. He said, it's not how you look at yourself that matters. It's not how other people look at you that matters. What matters is how God looks at you. And that was a really important change for me. I can't say that it happened immediately, but I began to really try to find out how it is that God looks at us, and how God looks at me in particular, for my life. And the Bible sets that out quite well. And I think, first of all, I found that God really loves us and really cares about us. And God wants us to have a good life. Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. You might have life in its fullest measure. And I wasn't having life in this foolish measure. And yet, that's what God wanted me to have. I discovered that God wants me to be blessed. He wants me to have enough money, but not to try to make money. And you ask for money from a worldly point of view, if you like. And it's, you know, from the point of view, just from a selfish point of view. But he does want us to have enough. He wants us to love and to give to others. I found that he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be happy in our marriage and in our relationship with other people. And I began to find that he wants to bless us. He has favor on us, and that he has favor on our lives. And so I started to see my life in a different way, completely. And I finished business. I got out of business, and I was working on I started to work in on the Lulworth estate, which is in Dorset, in South of England. Mm-hmm. A big holiday estate, and I just started as a car park attendant, which
okay.
was
different.
It was a great experience, actually. They got lovely car parks, you know, looking out over Portland and so I thoroughly enjoyed doing that. It was I ended up as a manager on the estate, and I found that a simple life, trusting in God, reading the Bible, not trying to be anything too great, not flying around the world trying to have meetings and do all the stressful things that I used to do. And I found that as I began to really trust in a loving, caring God who really does care for us, and as I started to read the Bible more regularly and to live probably a quieter life, I found that I became very, very happy, very, very, very much at peace in my life. And relationships started to work out much better. I mean, I've got two ex-wives, and I get on extremely well with both.
Well, that's good.
And with my children, and my children are amazing. I've just been on a holiday in Mallorca with my ex-wife and all and my three older children, which was amazing. We had a great time together. And I feel very much at peace. I feel that I've discovered what it is to have a really living relationship with God through his son Christ, and it's wonderful.
Okay.
But then into this, suddenly, at the beginning of last year, came this illness.
Right.
And I have believed for a long time now that God heals, and it's his will for us to be healed. I mean, the Bible tells us quite clearly, Jesus bore our diseases. By his wounds we were healed. He heals all our diseases. It's again and again and again, we find that it is God's will for us to be healed. There was never a situation in the Bible where somebody came to Jesus and asked him for healing that he didn't heal them. And so by believing in God, you have to believe in healing, really. It's inherent in the teaching of the Bible. And there are many churches that believe that. Not every church does, but many churches do, and I happen to belong to a church that believes that, which is tremendous. But that's what I believed. But suddenly, I was faced with a situation where that was put to the test.
Right. Yeah.
In quite a dramatic way.
A big test, yeah.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
You know, cancer is seldom a welcome visitor, and it never fits our plans for our lives. So, yeah, I'd really like to hear what it was like to actually receive the diagnosis.
Yeah. But what happened was, Boxing Day, the year before last, that was 2021, we'd been to my elder son's house for Christmas. All of our family had been there. We'd had a wonderful Christmas day. I had been working right up to Christmas. Everything seemed to be fine. And on Boxing Day morning, I suddenly found I had a pain in my right knee.
Uh-huh.
It was really quite painful. And I was sort of hobbling around. So I came down to breakfast, and my son and his wife, who are both doctors, were concerned to see hobbling around like that. And I said, well, look, I had some arthritis in this 2 or 3 years ago, and I think the arthritis must have come back. So I made an appointment to see a GP, went to see them during the COVID time, but I got an appointment within about 4 days, I think. And the GP I think it was a medical assistant actually, who I saw, said, yes, it must be the arthritis coming back. You had an X-ray done 2 years ago, see the arthritis. we will get you an injection. So I hobbled off, and nothing happened for a time. So after about a week or so, I phoned the surgery, and they said, yes, we're getting you an appointment in February. I went to see the doctor on January the 4th, which is quite a long time to wait for an injection for arthritis. But so I went back to work, and I was hobbling around, and later on in the month, my left knee started to pain, the same type of pain. And of course, that made it quite difficult to walk because it was quite painful. I was using a stick, but I still hobbled around. I said, oh, the arthritis must have come to my left leg.
Right.
And my son had his birthday party on me at the end of January, and I went there. And family very concerned, obviously, because I was really walking very slowly and finding it very difficult to walk. And he had a look at my knees and pressed them and said, that's all arthritis. That's you don't get pain there from arthritis. You better go and see your GP again. So I went back to GP, hobbling around and leaning on my stick. In fact, as I went going down the corridor to the GP's office, the stick broke. But she went into a lot of detail, asked me a lot of questions, and I had a lump on my left arm, which was, had been there for some time, and I hadn't really thought very much about it. I thought I'd better mention it to her. And I was getting a bit sore in my mouth, too. And so she sent me to the Swanage College Hospital to have a scan done on the arm to get some x-rays on the feet. By this time, I was needing to use a wheelchair really to get around. And when they did the scan on the arm, they immediately saw there was something wrong there. And so the GP, we went back to the GP, and he referred me to oncology. But that was when I sort of first realized that I had something very seriously wrong.
Yeah.
Also, there was a lump coming in my mouth, and my teeth were being pushed out. A week went by, and I got a message on the NHS app saying that I could have an appointment on the 16th of March, I think it was. So, you know, time was moving on stage. The next week, my son decided to take some action, and he put me in his car and took me to Bournemouth Hospital, to the outpatients, to A&E, and they did an x-ray of my legs, and the doctor on duty at least said that I needed to come in immediately to hospital because the tibia in both legs had broken. At this stage, they didn't know why it had broken. They'd broken, but clearly I had two broken legs and I needed treatment. So that was in Bournemouth at A&E, and it took one evening to get me a bed at a full hospital. And about midnight, they put me in an ambulance and took me to Poole Hospital, where I was admitted. And I think it was there, it was on the way in the ambulance around midnight that I realized that there was something seriously wrong with me. And my son and my ex-wife, who was a GP, both thought it was possibly a melanoma, but certainly a pretty serious cancer. I think they were very concerned that it was not going to be treatable.
Right.
And so here I was. I had my faith. I had my. I'd never been in hospital before. I'd never spent a night in hospital in my life. And it was quite a challenge.
Yeah. Tell us about that in particular. You know, that's obviously what we're focusing in on today. Just what process you went through in dealing with this very serious diagnosis potentially, and your faith that you'd had come to you in later life as obviously a bit of a saving for you, and what that was like.
Well, as I've said already, I see that what the Bible says is the truth, and if we rely on what the Bible says, then that is active faith. And there's the Apostle Paul, who was a writer of quite a lot of the New Testament, wrote a letter to the Philippians. That was the church in Philippi, and in that letter he says something which I found a tremendous help. He said, "Do not worry about anything." Now, I was in a situation where worry was beginning to sort of bubble up.
Sure.
And I think that's the case with a lot of people who have discovered that they've got cancer.
It's all about worry. Yeah, absolutely. The future.
Yeah. And yet the Bible is telling me not to worry.
Right.
It says, do not worry about anything. But in every situation, bring your prayers, Almighty God, your prayers and your petitions. Petitions aren't specific prayers for specific things. With thanksgiving, and the peace of God will fill your heart, peace that is beyond understanding. And that came to me very, very strongly when I was in the ambulance. It was bouncing along about midnight, and it was cold. But I really felt that God was saying to me, you don't have to worry about this. You do not have to worry. And I said a prayer to him. I said, Lord, I'm not going to worry about this. I make a decision now that whatever happens, I'm not going to worry. I trust you. I believe he has already healed me. I believe that there's a process that I'm going to have to go through. And what I want to do is to find out how that process can lead me to complete healing. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to worry. And
can I ask you a question about that? I just want to know, how do you decide not to worry?
Because I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is God's word to us.
No, I can see why you might want to make the decision, but practically, worry comes along, whatever you decide, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's why you have to keep going back to what the Bible teaches. And you go back to prayer, and talking to God and talking to Jesus is a very natural thing. I talk to him the same as I talk to you. I mean, I talk to him every day, and he is part. I mean, I live on my own in my flat here, and I believe Jesus is with me all the time, and I talk to him about things that I need. I talk to him about things that I have, and through that relationship with him, worry becomes his problem, not mine. It says, pray and a peace that passes understanding. And it is a peace that passes understanding. You can't understand how you could be completely at peace in a situation like this. And yet I was. I mean, I was, from that moment on, I didn't have any really strong worry about cancer and what was going to happen. Quite often the doctors would say, we're worried about this. We're worried that you've got double hit lymphoma. There's time that it takes for them to get the diagnosis, and that's a worrying time.
It
naturally.
Is. Well, yeah,
you don't know.
Many people suffer from that, like mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, faith is not a one-way thing. Faith is a two-way thing. And when you have faith in God, he gives you strength and power. I mean, that, you know, that even just initially coming to know him is an act of faith, but he responds. When we say, Lord, I believe in you, he responds to us. Because he's a being, he's a character, he's someone to talk to. And so I think that the peace that I had was not a natural, understandable peace. It was a peace that's beyond understanding, as the epistle puts it. And I think a lot of people who are Christians have that experience, because we trust in Jesus that he is going to heal us. And I put my trust in him. I said, Lord, you're going to heal me. I'm going to come out of this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so I want to hear about what happened, but there's a lot of things I want to ask you more about faith and various associated things. So you're now going to sum up a big journey, okay, from where you were there on that night in the ambulance to where you are today in health terms. Could you just tell us that, you know, as briefly as is reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, basically, so I went through a period of diagnosis, basically, and the diagnosis eventually came back and said that I had stage 4 cancer with what they call a double hit lymphoma, which is pretty serious lymphoma, and the chances of survival of that are much lower if you have a double hit. But on the other hand, they did decide that it was treatable, and they were able to give me chemotherapy, which, my son said he thought that was a miracle in itself.
Well, it's very surprising. Yeah, they don't often talk about stage 4 patients as being treatable in any way.
Yeah, and so it was clearly moving fast.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when they did the scans, they could see that, you know, I had it on my arm and my mouth. You could see it in various different parts of my body. They cut little bits out of my body and analyzed them, and so we went through all of that. And then they said, right, we're going to start chemotherapy. I was not at all sure that I wanted to go through chemotherapy. I had a bit of a challenge to decide, am I going to just trust in God or do I go through chemotherapy? And we had a conference with my ex-wife and the two of my children. And that's when my son said he felt it was a miracle that they actually had a treatment.
Right.
Which was one of the things that made me decide, yes, well, that, you know, I understand that. That's great. And it was, you know, a lot of people say chemotherapy is poison. It's, there are other ways of doing things, natural ways. But when you're in a situation like that, you can't sort of say, right, well, I'm going to put things on hold and I'm going to see if there's another way of doing it. So I do believe that even though I know big faith in God, that he uses, you know, the doctors, the medical systems, and everything. And there's a verse of the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so I said, well, in this case, chemotherapy is a good gift, and let's get on with it. So I started chemotherapy on a Monday morning. They put up the drips, and I didn't react very badly to it. In fact, in some ways, I can't say I enjoyed being in hospital, but there were some very good things about it. I mean, the nurses were great. The people I met were really nice. You know, it wasn't a really bad experience as far as that's concerned. About pain, they dealt with the pain and so on. But so I did, the chemotherapy started, and the remarkable thing was that within a week, the lung for my arm had gone down and then got softer. And within 2 weeks before the second chemotherapy started, there was no sign of any lumps, or that the outside lumps at all. And the doctors were quite surprised, and they were very pleased about it. But the chemotherapy just seemed to work amazingly. And I had to go on through the whole course. But the cancer was dealt with. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. I believe that you've appealed me, but you have used these wonderful doctors to do it. And my legs were still broken, and so I was stuck in bed. I couldn't get out of bed. To cut a long story short, 6 months after I left hospital, the doctors phoned up, and I waited to see a consultant at the hospital, and he went through all the x-rays, said, look, you can walk. We can see that from the x-rays. They had said they couldn't do knee replacements, they said they couldn't do anything with my knees. Just hope that they would get better over time, but I wasn't walking, and he was very happy about that.
Yeah, so obviously, your faith has been completely central to this journey.
Yeah.
You've sort of started out with the idea that you're going to be fine.
Right.
And carried that all the way through. Now, also clearly, though, there are lots of people who are devoted Christians who have another outcome.
Yeah.
And, you could have had another outcome. So it's to say that had been the case, and this is theoretical, of course, in this case, to say you'd had to meet with the prospects of the chemotherapy not working, or you not being able to walk, say, how would you bet that in terms of your faith?
Well, my faith is that however bad the situation gets, God is God, and he is able to heal. And if it gets, and I was prepared for it to get worse, I thought maybe it will get worse, but I know that you would heal me. I absolutely believe and trust you to heal me, and that I am in fact already healed. Because you see, I think that healing is a process. It's not something that just happens just like that. Jesus taught that faith is like a seed. He described faith as a seed, and a seed is obviously something you want to sow, and I see the Bible as being the garden center, if you like, where you go to buy your seeds and where you go and get your seeds. And the seeds are the promises that God makes in the Bible. And so you take these seeds, a seed, for example, is that it says in Matthew's Gospel that Jesus bore our diseases. Now, you remember that one of the things that I had discovered was that I shouldn't be looking at how I look at myself, I should look at how Jesus looks at me, how God looks at me. And I said, I remember in the hospital, in bed there, I remember thinking, Lord Jesus, you bore my diseases. When you were on the cross, you shed your blood for my sins, you gave your life, and you bore my diseases. Your Bible tells me that you bore my diseases, and you healed me. Now, I don't believe that you lie. I believe that you are God and you are truth. Therefore, if you bore my diseases, I don't have to bear it myself. I don't have to bear it. And therefore, healing must come. It has to come. And so that's a seed. And I sow that into my heart and I think about it. I say it and I say it over and over and I think about it. And there are lots and lots of promises like that in the Bible, which we sow into our hearts. And we sow into hearts that are willing to receive. And as we do that, faith grows. It's like a seed. It actually, you don't see anything to start with. But then something comes up, something happens, and something more happens, and then you have a little plant, and then you have some fruit, and ultimately the fruit comes. And, you know, there are some seeds that can come up immediately. You know, I remember being in Israel in the desert, seeing a little seed on the guide's finger, and he put some water on it, and it popped up immediately. So healing can happen immediately, but it could take a long time. So I think, in answer to your question, I have a faith that believes that God heals when we trust him, and we have to keep on trusting. Perseverance is one of the biggest characteristics for a believer in Christ.
Okay.
That he will eventually heal me.
So many people, I think, share some of what you said there in terms of their faith in the fact that there is a possibility of healing.
Yeah.
The thing that is more unusual in what you're saying is that you see that in physical terms.
Yep.
I think many people that I talk to see it in terms of healing being arriving at a place, as you described, as being the peace that passeth understanding, I think was how you described it.
Yep.
And they call that healing. And it's an interpretation of the words, you know, wherever they came from in the Bible, that is different. And so their interpretation would lead them to say, well, actually, I don't know whether I'm going to come out the other end of this alive or not, but I can be healed anyway. Taking into account that, of course, we're not all going to live forever anyway. We're all going to die sometime.
Yep.
So we might die of cancer or we might die of something else later on. So in a way, death is part of the picture already. It's already sewn into our experience. We're going to die at some point. So that can't be a failure in and of itself or a lack of faith either. So I'm just interested to hear you comment on that.
Yeah, I think what I see from reading the Bible is that God wants us to have a much better life than most of us believe that he wants us to have. Jesus said he wants us to have the best possible life. He also wants us to live a good long life. He says that with long life he satisfies us is one of the things he says in the Psalms. There are several places in the Bible that says that God's will for us is to have a long life. One of the commandments with promises that if you honor your father and mother, you will have a long life. That's what I promise in one of the commandments. Looking at us from God's point of view, I think he wants us to have a good, healthy, long life. And we don't necessarily have to die from illness. We can die just when our time's up and we can go. And I think we have come to accept illness far too readily. And I think even in the church, I think there's an acceptance of illness which is unnecessary, because I really believe that what Jesus wants us to do is to have a good, a happy life, but also so that we can be valuable to other people, so that we can help others. I mean, that's what God wants us to do. He wants our lives to be a blessing to other people. You know, when we believe and trust in him, he lives in us, he comes and lives in us, and his life through us. There's a psalm that says that the death of his people is costly to God. If God loses somebody who is a real believer in him and is bringing his light and his love into the world, it's costly to him when that person dies. So he wants us to live. He wants to live a good, long life and a healthy life. And he doesn't want us to be poor either. But he wants us, all lives, to be valuable and useful and productive. He wants us to be fruitful in the things that we do. And that's so I see it. I mean, this is not just an idea that I have. This is what the Bible teaches. And therefore, what I'm doing is I'm putting my faith and trust in what the Bible, which I call the Word of God, in what that says. And so I believe that healing is always possible. It might take a bit of time, as it did in my case, but it came as I believed it would.
Well, it certainly looks good in your case. That's right, you've had a remarkable recovery.
Always
interesting, because, you know, the flip side of that is, you know, I have met people who, of course, didn't have the outcome they were hoping for in the way that you did, and lost their faith as a result. They went to a very dark place as a result. It's a kind of flip side, if you like, of a strong faith like that. Then the question is, though, well, how could this beneficent God dole out cancer to someone who's devoted to them? How could this happen? And this is a difficult thing for people to make sense of within the context of a religious faith.
Yeah, but I don't believe that God gives out cancer. I don't believe God ever makes people ill. I mean, when Jesus, we've got to look at the life of Jesus and see what happened when he was alive. He didn't go around making people ill. He went around healing people. And I don't think for one moment it's ever God's will for us to be ill and to have cancer. But he doesn't give it to us. And I think there's a lot of lack of knowledge, even in the church. And I think it's very sad what you say. And in fact, it's one of the reasons I wrote my book, because I want people to see that God actually does care. And he does actually want us to be healed. He wants us to be healed. But there's a process. And there are things that we have to do. I mean, one of the things that I did was, the Bible tells us that you ask the elders, the leaders in the church, to come and pray for you and anoint you with oil. You know, I asked my church to do that. And then somebody from the church and came to me and said, you do that and you will be healed. I mean, that's what the Bible says. And I believe it. And I believe that was an important part of my healing process. And I think we have to find out what the Bible says about it and actually act on what the Bible says. So I think, and the reason I wrote the book was to a large extent for people who are Christians who don't understand the extent to which God wants them to be healed, then God is able to heal them. And I think a lot of people who are not healed is very sad, because they could be healed.
Okay, and just to come round back to where we started from, I spoke about the fact that faith can be placed in all sorts of places, and to me it clearly has an effect that one has some in something. From the point from which you're looking, I think you would say that anybody who doesn't have the faith in the right place, which you would ascribe as the right place, is probably not going to have success. And that would be a question for me, because it seemed, I mean, I've met people who have enormous faith in their ability to heal from cancer, and they've done remarkable things just like you, but they're not Christian. The common factor for me is the level of their confidence in that. Yeah, would you say something about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think a positive attitude and having faith is, I think faith is a spiritual principle that works, and it works in other areas apart from Christianity.
Right.
But where, with Christianity, you're actually putting your faith in a God who is able and has the power to carry out what you're putting faith in. And therefore, my faith is not just, I hope that it will happen. My faith is a confident expectation that God will do the things that I ask him to do. Ultimately, it might take a bit of time. It might take a bit of perseverance. Things might get quite bad before they actually come right. But I would never, ever give up hope once in God, because I really believe. But I do want to say, you know, I think people can improve their state in life by having a very positive attitude and speaking positively. I think those are natural laws. But I think when you put your faith in Christ, then you have a power within you which is beyond anything else in this world.
Okay, well, it's an interesting point of view. I'm sure there are plenty of other points of view that would say something similar about another faith, for example. They'd say, well, exactly the same about another person, another figurehead who inspires the same level of confidence. But
I can only give you my experience.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely right. Yeah, well, and it's very interesting, your experience. I'm pleased. Thank you very much for sharing it with us. I'm really interested to hear about it. And I'm very pleased to see the extraordinary results that you've achieved. I mean, quite remarkable. And
thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening and for all your questions, which have been very, very good. I appreciate it very much.
Great. So do you want to quickly give listeners details of your book?
Yes. My book is called Cancer with Christ, My Journey Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death. By Anthony Malkus. It is available on Amazon. It's not available on other platforms yet, but you go to Amazon and look for Cancer with Christ, My Journey Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Great. All right. Thank you very much for coming on the show and speaking with me today, Anthony.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Very kind of you. It's been a good time.
No problem. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, an extraordinary story, and there were many more questions I would have liked to pursue had time permitted. Hopefully that's given plenty of food for thought, though. Thanks very much for listening today. I look forward to bringing you another guest to help me with the exploration of the world of integrative medicine for cancer that we engage in each week here on the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.